What are you guys getting? What's helping you? Thought process. What else?
Know your numbers.
Know your numbers. That's a big one.
I like the idea of acceptance.
Acceptance. Yep.
What's holding me back?
What's holding you back? Right. Once again, I've hit you with so much stuff. I mean, you got to grab like the two or three things that resonate and move. Just move with that, right? Don't try to... This is many, many years of stuff that I'm getting you in 4 hours, so that you can't get it all handled. What's that?
What can I do to help you?
What can I do to help you? It is huge. I had a mortgage guy. He's wildly successful. And he called me up. He said, hey, I want to come meet with you. And I'm like going, huh. Another mortgage guy, right? Most of them don't even know there's a T in the word, right? So, right? So, but this guy, you know, was referred. He's a good guy and all that. He came in and he just said, hey man, I just want to know what I can do to help you move your business forward. And he just spent 45 minutes interviewing me about me and my business and theory of reciprocity. I'm like, I got to get this guy hooked in and hooked up, right? I mean, I've never had anybody do that. He's wildly successful. Now I know why, right? And he was authentic in that conversation. It wasn't a ploy, right? So that whole how can I help you thing, it's a big deal, right? And so so I have, you know, a couple targets every week where it's like, okay, I'm just going to think about this person. And once again, I don't hit it every week, and I'm not perfect at this stuff. And when I don't, I don't beat myself up and shred myself or any of that stuff. But I set some intention on this. Is, you know, I'm gonna help this guy and all that, and just get him connected. It's very, very powerful, right? What else? Small steps. Huge, right? And along with small steps and just reversing thought processes and making change. One of my most favorite concepts is the what if concept, right? And I learned this from Jonathan Mansky, if you guys know who he is. Unbelievable guy. He's got a program called the Wealth Consciousness Boot Camp. They do a call every morning. He's been doing a call every morning for 4 years. And you can go to jonathanmansky.com. I plug him because we've done a lot of seminar work together. But people they call in and they talk about money, wealth, success. It's a mastermind group. I don't know what he charges, but it's worth every dime. It's called the Wealth Consciousness Boot Camp. You can go to his website and sign up for it. It's a phenomenal community, and he's grown leaps and bounds. But when I was wanting to double my income, I sat down with him, and he's a guru, kind of, I call him Yoda. I mean, this guy just, he can create like NLP stuff and techniques just out of his brain. He's unbelievable. So anyway, I'm like, all right, Jonathan, I'm stuck. And my income's flat. So I paid him like $300 for this hour and a half session or something like that. And he's doing all this work on me, and he's having me talk, because when you vocalize things, right, sometimes you get stuck in the throat. There's a right, you get stuck, right? And by the way, really be conscious of what you communicate, because you trap yourself in your communication, right? Butt tries and can'ts, right? My kids say can't, they have to do 5 push-ups in front of me, right? And my little guy says can't, and my oldest goes, you can't say can't around Dad, right? But how we trap ourselves and how we communicate, the other thing that I've noticed lately is when I ask people what their wins are, there's always a caveat to them, right? Like, well, I mean, how many pieces of business did you close? Well, I closed 5, but Joe helped me. I'm like, what is it? Right? I closed that business finally after all this time. And there's all these caveats. Right? I'm like, just own it. Own it. I closed 5 pieces of business. Woo! Right? It's not, I got to recruit. Finally. Right? Watch it. So I was doing a call for a group in Ohio, and I'm like, what were your wins? They're like, this, and there's always some caveat to it that detracted away from the win. It's ridiculous. Just own it, right? You just got to work on that stuff with people, right? And that's going back to worthiness, deservingness, right? Which is, you deserve to be successful, period. Right? That makes sense? Anyway, so I sit down with Jonathan. So this hour and a half and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, what do I need to work on? He's like, all right, how much income do you want to make? And I'm like, well, I want to take it from 250 to 500. He's like, all right, here's what I got to do. All you got to do is keep saying, what if I cash flowed $500,000 or more per year? I'm like, I just gave you $300 for that crap. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You are a fraud, man. I'm like, what is your deal? And he said, it's so simple, you probably won't do it. Right? Because we think it's got to be complex. And if it's not complex, and it's not hard, if it's not the journey of 1,000 miles through the valley of death, if I don't have a, you know, structure erected in my likeness, you know, it's not worth it. He's just like, what? He's like, just shut up and do it. Right? So what I did is I dialed that into my weekly goal. It was, what if I cash flowed 10 grand this week? What if? 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 All the time. All the time. All the time. What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? All right, you tell me to stand on my head for 8 hours, I'll do it. It's going to move me forward. What if? 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 The single best phrase for transforming beliefs is that. What if? What if? What if? What if? What if it works? What if it's easy? What if it's simple? What if? What if? What? Because here's the thing. Your subconscious can't fight with a what if statement. Can't fight it. Right? If you say, I make this amount a year, your subconscious is like, no, you don't have to see your bills. Right? I mean, all that fight. But what if your subconscious, you throw a what if statement at your subconscious, the subconscious goes, dang it. Right? Then what happens is that what if starts transforming into that is the kind of person that makes that happen. Right? Then your I am statement after that. Right? I am. Anything you say after I am is the most powerful thing you can say. Right? So you better make it positive. So what if? What if? What if? Right? What if I'm already financially free? What if I'm already financially independent? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if recruiting good, successful, coachable people is easy? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? Right? I do tapping. I mean, I do it all. Right? I do all of it, man. Because it's just, right? You've got to work that brain. Right? So if I'm not recruiting people, I got some head trash on, right, good, coachable, successful people, right? So I wrote down the people I wanted to work with. I got this thing called the no jerk rule. Done with it. I'm not working with buttheads anymore. Right? I'm not doing it. No jerk rule. Not doing it. So I said, what if recruiting good, coachable, successful people, right? So I laid out, who's my ideal recruit? Coachable, right? We'll talk about coachability here in a second. Successful, integrity, credibility in their background, and I actually want to be around them, right? So I sat down with Marlo. I'm like, here's the deal. You and I are going to get 100 direct recruits. I don't know how long it's going to take us. We started that 2.5 years ago. I think we've had between the two of us like 32. Need to know my numbers better. But 32, I got to check that out. Okay, and that's it. And it's funny, okay, because about 20-25% have retained and gotten licensed. Okay. That whole thing is, I'm too busy. Well, some of those guys just dropped, right, or whatever. My clients with head trash, and so just going through that, and I just sat down with Marlo. I'm like, who do you want to work with? She's like, here's who I want to work with, because she stopped recruiting for a period of time because she had this thing that it's babysitting, it's a pain in the butt, and you know, people don't want to win, they waste my time and all that stuff. I'm like, well, let's get clear on our ideal recruit, and guess what? Boom, 6-figure earners, rock stars, great spouses, great marriages, great families, appreciative, coachable, phenomenal people. We love to be around them. Started coming from everywhere, literally. Right? You've got to throw that out there. Here's who I'm looking for. Right? And I've had some other people who didn't quite fit the profile, but the number one key is they've got to be coachable. Right? It's called your teachability index. And it's a big one. Right? If you don't have a high teachability index, okay, and it goes in and out, right? And the teachability index has two components, your willingness to grow, right? Your willingness to learn, your willingness to accept change. Willingness to learn, willingness to accept change. Scale 1 to 10, where are you? On willingness to learn and willingness to accept change. Okay? So, right, and especially, you know, veterans have been around for a while, right? You're like, oh, here he goes talking about that crap again, right? Well, that's probably a little bit low on the teachability index. right? Because a lot of this stuff I keep talking about, these are basics, right? These are basics. The basics have to get handled, right? The basics of thinking, the basics of where am I going, the basics of all that stuff, right? Talk about the basics of the systems, the basic of how to talk to people, right? Scripts, words, I mean, the basics, right? And so people are always like, well, I want the advanced stuff, right? I want the advanced stuff. Give me the advanced stuff. Well, you haven't, right? You haven't mastered the punch. You got to master the punch before we get into the roundhouse kick, right? Not worried about the 10,000 moves you practice once. I'm worried about the one move that you practice 10,000 times, right? Does that make sense, right? So teachability index is huge, and you kind of go in and out, right? I went to a 7-day seminar, took it all in. My teachability index at the end of the thing, it was like one. I just couldn't take any more in, right? But I recognize that. Done. I had to go implement some of this stuff. My teachability index was low, right? But my willingness to learn has always been pretty high, right? Because I knew that's the juice because I'm connected to what I'm doing. My willingness to accept change has always been pretty high, right? So gauge where you are, right? We did this last week with the EMD tank guys, and one of our best leaders said, yeah, I thought I was pretty good. I was an 8 and a 7. Well, 8 times 7 is 56. That's an F. Teachability index, really big, right? And so when you're talking to people, you need to gauge how teachable they are, right? And what I find with people is when things are going great, they're extremely teachable. When they're not, that's when the challenge happens. When things aren't going right, they're not as teachable as they could be. It's easy to be teachable when it's sunshine, lollipops, and roses, right? But when things are not, right? So I've always been really good there. And when things aren't going good, I've always been really good at reaching out to those people I respected and getting feedback, which, oh, people hate feedback. Seek it out. Right? Seek it out. End of 08, we were, horrible. Mid 08. Right around there. I reached out to Ed Milette, Dean Flip, Monty Holm. I said, my business sucks. My wife's stressed out. Help. ... And you talk to you guys in the next 2 days. Boom, boom, boom. They all hit me back. I'm like, what are you seeing in me? And it was ugly. Ugly. My attitude was horrible. Right? They started calling me out on it. I didn't want to hear it. Got a little defensive. Right? But I remained teachable. Okay? Make sense? Because they all love me. I know that. They're not trying to grind an axe. They're not trying to make me feel bad about myself. They're trying to get me to change, right? So go seek feedback from people, right? And hopefully that person knows how to give feedback. If you're giving it, right, you got to talk to people about their role and their identity. Your identity's a 10. Your role is a 1 to 10, right? So I'll gauge my role as far as what did I do with you guys today. I'll give myself a grade on a scale of 1 to 10 when I'm done here, right? After a BPM presentation, I'll grade my role on a scale of 1 to 10. How was I? Right? There's times when I've been a 5. Right? But when I've been a 5, my identity doesn't take a hit. When things started getting tough for me, it's when my role and my identity started getting mixed. And that's beating yourself up. Right? So my role as a WFT person in 2008 was not very, very good, and my identity started getting mixed in with that. Started creating a lot of problems in my life. Okay? But once I recognized that, you know, I deserve it, I'm a phenomenal guy, right? Started laying out my identity, rebuilding my identity. I hired a coach who rebuilt my identity, okay, who his job was to build me back up, and then my wife started building me back up, and I was back to a 10. Then I had to gauge how I was in my role. Does that make sense? So that's how you give feedback. So when I give you guys feedback, it's usually your role that I'm addressing, not your identity, because I see 10s, okay? Make sense? I see 10s. So if I give you feedback and you take it personally, you're mixing your identity in with the role that I'm addressing. Does that make sense? Okay? Right? So I have to remind myself, because once again, I still have this need for approval thing going on. Okay? It's a project. Probably will ever be forever be a project of mine. Okay? I just recognize when it's getting in my own way. Okay? Cool? Good?
Yeah.
Good on that stuff? Role and identity. But coachability is just massive. Right? And you just got to gauge that. Scale of 1 to 10, where am I? Willingness to learn? Right? Willingness to accept change? It's huge. Okay? So when people are stuck there, All right. Other mistakes they make is they think it is all about the how-tos. And it's not. But you still got to get that stuff dialed in, playing both ends to the middle. Okay? And then you really got to know what to say. You got to know the words. And so people that struggle in our business don't know what to say. So you got to study this stuff. Right? And guess what? It takes a lot of hours to get phenomenal at what you're doing. 10,000 hours to become a master. Right? 10,000 hours to become a master. So you gotta put that time in, right? And you gotta study what to say. I mean, there's still people in my business been here forever. I'm like, well, what do you say? And they're like, well, what would I say here? I'm like, seriously? I'm like, come on, man. Like, right? When my kids were young, they knew all the Barney songs at age 2. Right? You gotta know the words of the business. And so if you don't, you got to, that's a conscious competence thing that you have to dial in. And you got to take that just very, very Olympic athlete serious, okay, with people. All right, if you're still getting in the scenario of disaster, you got to know how to get out of that scenario of disaster, okay? You need to write that stuff down. You got to reconstruct what worked, what didn't work, right? Are you talking too much? Does that make sense? Right? And just know what to say. And so when Milet said, hey, you got to know what to say, this is a business of words, that's the key to you winning over here, I just took that really, really seriously, okay? And I still have to watch it to this day, right? So when I go into appointments, I'm just really intentional, right? I just say, give me the power and strength to deliver a message that changes these people's lives in a positive, powerful way. That's my little affirmation before I go in there, right? And then I just work through it. It's a super important meeting. I'll do minute and a half of just visualization of that meeting going well. Right? You guys know Maxwell Maltz? Psycho-cybernetics? Right? He was a plastic surgeon. And so he'd do massive plastic surgery on people that wanted to look differently. And they'd heal up after a couple of months. They'd come back wanting their money back because they're like, you didn't change anything. He's like, what are you talking about? I changed your nose. I changed everything. No, you didn't. I'm still ugly. And that's when he started Psycho-Cybernetics. He's like, that didn't matter. It's how they saw themselves. Right? So how you see yourself is everything. Okay? But in his book, he wrote a book called Zero Resistance Selling. And it is about doing the visual before you speak, before you go in the meeting, versus winging it. Right? Getting that through, visualizing, smiling, being happy, paperwork, being signed, you're on your game, you're cueing your subconscious to deliver, and what's going to happen is all the subtleties in our conversations start coming out because you rehearse that mentally. Very powerful, okay? But you got to know what to say. But if you are clear on the intention, clear on serving other people, things will start coming out of you. They're extremely powerful. You're totally in the flow. Right? And wherever you are, be where you are. Another big key. I'm not thinking about where I have to go. I'm not thinking about what I got to do this week. I'm totally here with you. Does that make sense? You do that with people. Just be there with them. Be present. Be aware of service. Right? You become extremely powerful when you're there. But if you had something that went wrong and you bring that into the meeting, or you're fearful or thinking about what you got to do, right, you're living between these two extremes. Your point of power is always right there with that person, right? So if you want to build a big business, you got to slow down to hurry up. Chuan Nguyen, my favorite quote of all time from him. Slow down to hurry up. Why is he 40% of the production of the company? Because he slowed down to hurry up. He built people. He spent time with them. He was present with them, right? Boom, that's a brick, right? That's not a sandcastle. He builds bricks, not sandcastles. You do that with your clients. Do that with your spouse. Okay, I remind myself, wherever you are, be where you are. Okay? That makes sense? Very powerful. And you say the right thing. When your intention's clear and you're there, you say the right thing. Okay? That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Powerful, too. You know what it feels like. Okay? Right? But know what to say. Right? Know what to say. And so, just give you a couple techniques. All right, invitation I did to Carl, right? Hey, I want to buy you lunch, show you what I'm doing. May or may not be for you, if he's really resistant. I know it's not for you. I know you're excited. I know you got it going on with what you're doing. But will you come to support me? Will you come help me because I know you know people who need what I have. I just want you to connect me with those people. Is that cool? Will you help me, Carl? Yeah, I'm going to buy you lunch. Great, thanks. Just get him there. Tell the story. If he says no, fine. All right? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, he invited you. Right? He invited you. Right? Jeremy's a stud. Big plan financial. Right? Does that make sense? Right? And then turn over every leaf. Turn over every leaf. That's always been one of my keys too. Turn over every leaf. Scott Knobbert's here. Carl's here. Jeremy's here. Scott's whole family's in the business because I had $250,000 a year earner leave my business. Left. Got super negative. Right? Searching for evidence that things didn't work. Right? You either search for evidence that things work or you search for evidence that things don't work. Right? You either search for evidence that your life's working or you search for evidence that it's not working. Well, this guy was a great guy. Love him. Love his wife. They started searching for evidence that things weren't working. And they left. I don't know if they're better off. Probably not. I've never seen too many people leave us and go on to superstar success. Grass is not always greener. Especially in our jacked up industry. Independent broker dealers are a flipping mess. Right? That's why we got to recruit those guys. Well, he leaves and I'm like, I had a oh moment for, you know, about 30 seconds and I'm just like, hey, this is being handed to me for a reason. Right? I can make this a problem or a project. So I call, he had about 18 guys, most of them weren't really engaged. I called 18 of them. I'm like, hey, just so you know, Will moved on, blah, blah, blah. Congratulations, you're direct to me now. Nobody really cared. 17 didn't call me back, but Sparky did. Right? And here comes Scott Knobbert. You 18 or 19? Huh?
19.
19. Okay? Clip-on tie. Coming down to here. Right? Big silver briefcase. Right? And he comes in and he's like, I'm ready! And I'm like, oh, crap. Right, but what's this? What's going on in my head? I'm like, I gotta serve with what I gotta work with what's in front of me, right? I'm like, all right, Sparky. Now he's Spartacus because he's a stud, right? Sparky turned into. He has a couple Sparky moments every once in a while, but they're few and far between. He's a stud, man. He's gonna kill this thing. He already is. He's one of the best we have. It's unbelievable. But here comes 19, right? So he's got a strap for his big silver briefcase that he puts over his shoulder. Here's how we do training appointments. He gets on his motorcycle without a helmet, right? And he cruises, right? And I'm falling behind in my Pathfinder or whatever I was driving right then, right? And he's just cruising, and then we get to people's houses, and then he backs the bike up, and I'm like, what is going on here, right? But we went and got with his parents, and I said, this ain't going to work unless you refer people. And they said, as long as you go with Scott, we'll refer everybody. And then we closed a couple pieces of business on some pretty influential people in that network. Right? And it took Scott a while, right? I don't know, we did training points for what, a couple years? A couple years, I don't know, we did 20 or so, right? He watched me, and now he's phenomenal, right? His parents both get laid off in the last 6 months. They're full-time with us now, right? He's got a business going on in Texas. His whole family's in business with him, right? Gets his fiancée involved. Fiancée's mom's involved. I mean, that's pretty rad stuff, isn't it? That's why you got to turn over every leaf, right? That's why your brain's not big enough to figure out how. So when so-called disaster stuff comes up, don't label things as good or bad. That's how we get jacked up. We totally lose our creativity when we label things as good or bad. Right? We had a couple other instances. You know, everyone's like, I can't believe this is happening. This guy just left. Or we had a guy get terminated, one of my best guys. And everyone's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And they're like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm not going to call it bad. I'm going to suspend my judgment on whether this is bad or not. Right? Somebody else working here, not me. You got to have some trust. And I believe it was very positive. Right? And great things have come out of that. Does that make sense? Right? And so people have left my business, very successful people have left the business. Now, if I had to go back and see, okay, did I do anything that caused that to happen? I got to check in on that. But in all these instances, it wasn't anything that I did, it's what they did. Right? And I feel like I served them all pretty well. Got it? So turn over every leaf, turn over every rock. Right? Know what to say, and you know, scenario of disaster, you know, learn how to get in and out of that, right? I mean, get out of it, don't get in it, get out of it, right? But, you know, when I'm talking to people, hey, you know, hey, I want to know more about what are you guys doing? My line's always been, when can we connect? Right? Chris, I need to know more. Like, you know what? Then this line's made me a fortune. I don't have 30 minutes to get into it with you right now. I know you don't either. We just need to connect. Right? Well, I'm not sure I'm not that. I'm not sure I'm interested. Cool. You know what? It's probably not for you. It's probably not for you. So I'll just take that approach, but I know you know people. Right? Don't keep pushing. Right? It's probably not for you. You're probably not interested, but I know you know people. Get in front of them. They see it. Right? See, that gets them open. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's a lot of my recruiting is, hey, I know it's not for you. Come look at it. Hey, I know it's not for you. Come look at it. Hey, I know it's not for you. Come look at it. Right? Then they don't think I'm selling them. They're closed. Right? Cool?
Yep.
Good? And then you got to give your business time to compound. That's the other big mistake. You will not build this thing in a year. You'll get it going. Right? What's the most important part of a house or a skyscraper? It's the foundation, right? And the bigger the skyscraper, the deeper that foundation has to go, right? So, foundation, right? Work it. I get the frustration. I mean, I was there for a number of years. I mean, I had to rebuild it like twice, basically, right? Because of the stuff I'm telling you guys, I wasn't that conscious of it, right? So I self-sabotaged some things, you know, to go recreate it. And I don't want you guys to have to do that. Okay? So stay consistent every single day, right? Small steps, Kaizen, get clear, take action, have fun, serve people, go to the bank. Is that cool?
Yep.
Good? All right, any other questions? There's like another 6 hours after this, but I mean, we're done, but y'all look like you're done. Is there anything, questions or comments? Rebuttals, blinding flashes of the obvious. Yep. Yes, dear.
We're always talking about marriages, commitment. I'm single.
Yeah.
How are you reinforcing the single person?
Love yourself.
I do.
Have a good relationship with you. Yeah, but you got people in your life you can go get support from. Right? Not necessarily a marriage. So, you know, I was single before I was married doing this business. So, But if you're, are you asking a support question, or what do you mean reinforce?
Well,
or?
Well, a couple of times during this presentation, you were saying the first thing you looked at after you talked to the person was, hey, how's your marriage? How's your marriage going? How's that progressing? Are you working out of that? What I'm saying is, if I'm having a failed moment, I don't have a marriage to compare it to. Say, okay, I speak in my marriage. I'm just me.
That's why you need to have a mentor. You'd have a coach and a mentor. So I mentor a lot of single people too, right? So whatever it is, you just need a what I call a foxhole buddy, right? That you can work with and coach and teach and mentor, or you know, people in your family or whatever that you can just get some support. It's just people that fail in business, they suffer from John Wayne syndrome and they try to do it on their own. And if you go look at rock star world class people, they all work in groups and teams. Everyone else that struggles works on their own because they have an ego that doesn't serve them, right? So if you don't have someone that you're accountable to or someone that's supporting you, right, because the last part I didn't really get to is you got to have a mastermind alliance of like-minded people that want to help you follow through with both your purpose and your plan, then you go to that, right? But even if you're married, you still need that, right? I was married and still needed to have a coach because there's things I needed to talk to him about that, man, if she really knew, right, what was going on with my business at that time, I needed somebody else, right? So just reach out for support and then earn that time with your mentor, right? Go reward them by getting results. Does that make sense? Right? So that's how a single would work it out. Yep. Robert?
What would you say to the new person, like 2 months they've been here or 2 years? They're like, you know, this is all great, but I haven't seen my results yet. Maybe I can't do this.
Quit saying that. Stop that story. I mean, it's. I mean, we are the great storytellers. That's what we do as humans. We just tell stories, right? I know he did, but I can't. I mean, just just being in relation to the story in your head that's not serving you, that's how you shift it, right? And okay, what if I can do it? Right, what if I could do it? 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 Whatever's going on out here is the story that's going on in the head. So until you change the story, nothing's going to change out here. Right? So, but I'd also seek out the person that gets this and go, here's the story I got going on. Right? I love coaching people that tell me exactly what's going on in their head. Right? Does that make sense? So change the story. Right? You got a money problem? Change your money story. Well, I don't know what my money story is. Well, write it down. Right? If you got a team building problem, make it a project. What is it that you want? Tell a different story. What if recruiting good coachable success? Right? I get it too. Right? Bring people on board. Right? Business would be easy if it wasn't for people. Right? Right? I go there sometimes, guys. Right? All this stuff I'm telling you guys, the reason I'm talking about it is whatever's going on in your head, I've had in my head. It's just, was I going to let that story rule me? No, I had to shift it. Some of that took years to shift. Erosion, right? Different story. Start telling a different story. Start telling a different story. And probably the biggest part is just try to be happy now. Right? Just be happy now, man. Don't look at that pothole. Get excited because you're happy now, man. You're going to be very, very magnetic. Any other questions? Comments, rebuttals, blinding flashes of the obvious. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.